Dan Hasty. He is play-by-play voice of the Tigers High A affiliate, the West Michigan Whitecaps, and also he hosts Road to Detroit, a great podcast that you can download. Speaking of Torkelson and Green, he's talked to them this year. Dan is standing by on the Meyer guest line, and Tigers win this afternoon. Dan, Manning's starting to look like a major league pitcher. I mentioned Fetter, A.J. Hintz, the staff, the farm system. What's wrong right now with the Tigers when you look ahead to the future?
And you know what? I think the best thing about it, and thanks for having me, is the fact that the needs that they have are pretty glaring in a way that they are fixable, right? I mean, a shortstop, for example. And there are a lot of good shortstops out there. So you're talking about, you know, where can you point to these tangible places this offseason where this team can improve? It's pretty obvious that they're going to have those avenues available to them. I mean, look, Jake Rogers is out for the year. Well, Eric Haas is hitting 20 home runs. You've got a starting catcher. You probably need another one, but you have your starting catcher. So I just look at where they lack, where they are deficient, and I just see ways that that can be remedied. And that can be a huge impact. And based on what they've already done this year, look, now's the time.
Yeah, now is the time. I'd mention a year, if not 2 years, the timetable from what we were thinking after spring training and especially after the first month of the season, Dan. You go out and sign that big money free agent shortstop. Garneau did hit a homer today. He'll be in the mix to be the backup catcher. I think he got 1-for-2 or something I saw as I'm doing the show and watching Bally Sports Detroit. You know, you have the right-handed power that, you know, Green, it could be Torkelson. Green, I think, is a lock to start. Torkelson, the way he's tore it up at West Michigan, Erie, and now Toledo, he could be that right-handed pop. It's going to be interesting if you're in that room, Dan, with Al Avila and his staff and Hinch, and his staff, when you talk about those glaring needs, what are glaring and need outside help, which would be free agency, and where is help on that road to Detroit?
You know what? I think really what they have is they've afforded themselves the ability to wait in some important areas. So, look, I mean, a couple of years ago, it was a great example, Daz Cameron had a phenomenal finish. It was 2018. He went up to Toledo. He dominated. He went to spring training. He dominated there. Tiger said, you know what? Go down to Toledo one more time. Check this box for us so we know for sure. He didn't do it. And even though he had a good finish to his season in Toledo in 2018, he didn't do it. And that saved the Tigers from possibly bringing him up too soon. So I think the Tigers are eventually going to do the same thing with the Riley Greens of the world, with Spencer Torkelson, and say, hey, you know what? Just go back and show us one more time. Make us obviously aware that you are ready. So if you're talking opening day, I don't see it. But they've already got Akil Badu. They've got Derek Hill, who's having the best season that we could have ever expected from him. They've got Robbie Grossman. They're okay. They have enough to get by, so they can make sure that these young players can check that box. So what they have there has afforded them a lot of flexibility. I think they need more help in the bullpen, which is like an evergreen statement for the Detroit Tigers. But I think they also need a shortstop. We all know that. And I think that they're going to have probably some interest in picking up another catcher. But based on what they've done with the in-house options at that position, I mean, between Jake Rogers, Eric Haas, Dustin Garneau, Wilson Ramos, that group might have 40 to 50 home runs. I don't necessarily think they really need one.
You know, because when you look at it, and this is good at what you just mentioned about scope, and I agree with you, Derek Hill, his defense, spacious Comerica Park where you're playing 81 games a year. Akil Badu, where, look at the speed. Grossman, who just, he looks like that leader type guy, and he's doing it by example without saying much. So if you look at Candelario at third, you know there'll be a free agent shortstop. That's obvious need number one. I agree with you on the pen. I still might like a veteran starter because I don't know how long these young arms, the same questions you have about Green and Torkelson, full season, ready to go, compete, contend. I don't know if those young arms are all there yet. Then you have Jonathan Scope, who what they gave the two-year extension. Is that correct, right?
They did. They did. And so, to your point about the starting pitcher, I mean, if there was only a starting pitcher that maybe had played for the Tigers at some point in their career,
right,
and maybe was coming off of some type of an arm injury, maybe trying to revive his career. If only there was somebody that might be available like that, but I don't know. I mean, if you have any
Boyd, it'd be Boyd, right? I mean, that is, he's sitting there, right, where he could revive it. I mean, look at the way Fulmer has revived things and struck out four, I mentioned, in the final two innings against a 89-win Brewer team this afternoon. So the possibilities are there. And that's why I said that room postseason, or that room they may be discussing this now with Hinch, his staff, the entire scouting staff, front office, that you got Haas, you found your everyday catcher. Gourneau, like you said, Rogers gets healthy, there's options. So then your question becomes second base with a two-year deal. Do you move Jonathan Scope to second? Do you then have Miguel be your DH and Torkelson play first next year? That's one scenario. Then you have your free agent shortstop. You have Candelario. You then have Bedu, Hill, and Grossman in the outfield, but you don't want to bring Riley Green up to be a fourth outfielder or split time with somebody. So what you said at the start of this conversation, Green might end up starting in Toledo and see if Akil Bedu can keep it going. Is he a one-year wonder? You know, same thing with Hill. You have a couple of, not question marks, but guys who haven't proven it for a full year, right? Akil will get that chance here when the season ends. So there are a lot of scenarios, right?
I would agree. And I think just like the Tigers want to see somebody like Riley Green show them one more time in Toledo, I think that similar logic kind of applies at the major league level with Akil Bedu, with Derek Hill.
I agree.
Hey, show us that you can do this again, because we're not out here looking for platoon players. We're out here looking for long-term solutions. So for me, I don't think there's any risk in keeping that group together just the way they had it. And I think overall, by buying that little bit of time, I think will make them feel infinitely better when they do eventually make that call and they bring Riley Green to the show. They bring Spencer Torkelson to the show, because now, I mean, look, they were so aggressive, especially with Spencer Torkelson this year. He played three levels. That guy never played professional baseball before this year. We forget that. So the fact that they've already rushed him all the way to AAA, now is the time where you just take a beat. Now is the time, because nobody expected Spencer to be up in the big leagues right out of the gate next year. That's not how this usually works. So the fact that he's even in this conversation shows how well he has performed this year.
So your question is then, looking at the potential 2021 opening day lineup, will Harold Castro, who's hit really well with the Tigers, will he play second? You keep Scope at first. You got Miguel as the DH. You get the free agent big name at shortstop. Candelario, Haas, Bedu, Hill, Grossman, you've watched pretty much that lineup, give or take, play very well against some of the best teams in baseball here the last couple of weeks. Could that be your ever? And then you hope you get Boyd back, right? And you pick up a couple of veterans who have gotten big outs late in games for contenders, and then you start the season that way, because you're fighting for 500 right now if you're Hinch and Avila. I don't think fans are going to expect, Dan, that you're going to win 100 games next year. But with this lineup, and take away April, and they're a playoff team. Seriously, take away April, the Tigers are a playoff team, if not contending right now in the Central. I'll give the White Sox a lot of credit. So with what you said, what I kind of mixed in, that's a formula to be a wild card contender, would you say?
Just show me that you're close. And
right. Today
was win number 70. And that's a big deal, because A.J. Hinch came in this year. And before he got there, this didn't look as promising as it does now. And, you know, we were talking about, well, if there was only a player, well, if there was only a free agent that maybe played for A.J. Hinch, maybe say in a different location.
There you go.
And maybe he's coming back from an arm injury. I think he would understand that this team is moving
Verlander
in that right direction.
How about if you got Boyd and Verlander back?
See, now you're picking up what we're putting down, though.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Secret Code Baseball Man.
I'm not here to name names, but I think we all know.
And then how about Correa at shortstop?
And that's the key. That's the key to the kingdom right there. You might be able to bring one and convince the other. It's kind of like a Miami Heat brings the big three dynamic, isn't it?
Well, you know, if we just go off of what we talked about with, okay, you get Verlander, you get Boyd back into the rotation. Takes a lot of pressure off of Mize, doesn't it? And the young arms. A lot of pressure.
And it gives them a tutor. I mean, think about 2006. Think about the value of when Kenny Rogers.
How
ironic was it? Because Kenny Rogers was teaching Justin Verlander at that point. I know they were obviously different styles, but I mean, it was about the veteran teaching some of the young guys on the come up. How cool of a full circle experience could we find if this was to happen?
You know, Rogers, I remember in 2006 at KennyTeaches.com, he was talking to Verlander saying, someday you're going to get away from Detroit and win a ring with the Astros. And then he called up Scherzer and said, they're never going to pay you. So you'll end up, and you and JV will be in the same rotation with the AL ERA leader and, Anibal Sanchez. And, we're going to have Porcello. We're going to have the greatest rotation and then win a World Series. That was Kenny Rogers. He's kind of like the Nostradamus of baseball.
See, for some of us, when we saw the movie Rookie of the Year when we were very young, Gary Busey played a guy named Chet Stedman. He was known as the Rocket, and he came back for one last shot at glory. Mm. That would be kind of how this felt. But again, you're talking about a guy who won like AL Cy Youngs and was the most dominant pitcher, even really leading up to the time of his injury. So, yeah, you're taking a chance. You're rolling a dice on a guy who's 37, 38, who had Tommy John surgery and things like that. So, I mean, this is kind of our pipe dream situation. But I think there is an avenue that points to this being a possibility. And I think with the enthusiasm around this team right now, this is the chance to strike while the iron is hot. And this is when you strike. This is when you smash the button. And that's what I'm just hoping that the Tigers can find a way to do in the winter.
I look at the pitchers like Peralta and even Alexander and Manning, who pitched outstanding today against an 89-win Brewers team. 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. I know I give Hinge a lot of love about the culture building that's still ongoing, but Chris Fetter, as pitching coach, he can't be lost in any conversation about this surprising season.
No, and you know what? Look at the three big pitching prospects that we have been talking about for years. Mize, Skubal, Manning. And in normal situations, if you just look at prospect hit rates in the history of baseball, you're hoping that among those three names we just mentioned, that two of those guys become long-term established core pieces for your team in the years ahead. And I don't think any of those three have shown themselves that they are incapable of doing that. Obviously, Matt Manning has the farthest way to go, but he's even showing us that he's got something. I always thought Manning was the most talented of the three, truth be told. When watching all three of them, I got a long look at Manning in West Michigan. I thought he was phenomenal. And the fact that he got off to a slow start just goes to show how tough it can be, but he's figuring it out. And he has kind of the wisdom of a guy like Chris Fetter, who really just knows how to accentuate strengths. And I love the fact that he has turned not one, not two, but all three of these guys into guys who are having success at this level. That's a big deal. If they get all three of those right, that is so ridiculously instrumental to what they're trying to do. It's a game changer.
It's an Atlanta Braves-like game changer with Glavin Smoltz and Maddux. And the work he's done with guys like Willie Peralta and Tyler Alexander and how different they look under the tutelage of Hinch, a former catcher, and Fetter. And I watched what he did with Michigan pitchers down in Ann Arbor. And if Boyd can come back, and if you do make a run at JV and you get a Correa at shortstop and a couple of bullpen arms, but, you know, Lang and Fulmer were great today again against an 89-win Brewer team. Dan Hasty, by the way, follows everything on that road to Detroit, the podcast. Make sure you download it wherever you download podcasts. Also, another stellar season as voice of the West Michigan Whitecaps. Did they make the playoffs?
So only two teams from our entire league make the playoffs this year. It used to be an eight-team thing, but because of COVID, they kind of downsized.
Oh, that's nice.
It's just a three-game championship series. So
that's nice. Yeah, way to go. Way to end on a big note. That's good.
Hey, can I just say one other thing?
Because go ahead.
You were just talking about these pitchers, guys like Willie Peralta. Talk about just creating value out of thin air.
Yes.
End of season, all of a sudden, you know, we talked about having options. So even if you don't think that some guys are part of your future, you've created additional surplus value, and now that gives you more options. That gives you the chance to move a guy, to make a trade, to bring back somebody of even more significant value. They are finally in this position where they are developing players, whether they're younger players and players in the prime of their career, players who are a little bit in the veteran side. They're finally extracting value. They're getting a lot of toothpaste out of the tube, and that's the first time I've been able to say that in a long time.
He talks for a living, Dan Hasty, Road to Detroit podcast. If you're a Tigers fan and you want to follow the farm system, which is loaded with talent right now, Road to Detroit, wherever you download podcasts. Dan, congrats on another great year with High A West Michigan. We'll talk soon.
You got it, Bill.